The first service, Emmy Wetzel was here for her first time. That is Mitch and Shauna's little girl, was born in June, and she was here for the first time. And then it's good to have Nick Wood back with us. He's came back for the weekend, and he goes back again tomorrow, and then he flies back Friday, I think he said. So keep praying for Nick and pray for all our military personnel. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read the Beatitudes, let you know where we're at from here. I'll be preaching next week on Give Peace a Chance, and then Ryan will be speaking in on the last Beatitude, which is Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Ryan has a heart for the persecuted church, and so I asked him if he would preach that morning, and Joe and I are going to be gone. And then I'm going to do a real short series on the church, and then I'm simply calling it Wake Up, Sleepyhead. And then many of you will remember Will Reed. Some of you were here back when we had Will and Teresa Reed. They had been missionaries in Africa, and had a very traumatic experience, moved to another part of Africa, I want to think to Sudan, and then finally had to come home. And they had one little girl at the time, and he has been working, I believe, at IU. Well, we got an email, we received an email from him a couple weeks ago that they are returning to Africa. And they now have three children, not just one. And and so he is actually, we're meeting him for lunch a week and a half on Wednesday from today. And then he is going to be preaching on November 4th. I've asked him if he would speak that morning and tell us a little bit more about his ministry, what they're doing, the mission that they're going to, and how God has just moved in their hearts to bring them there. And I want to do a real short series then on the feasts in the Bible, and then around Christmas time we'll do one on the names of Jesus, and then we'll be into the first of the year, and we're going to be in the book of Revelation for quite a while. So that's where we're going. But for now, I'd like you to have Matthew chapter 5 open, and I'm going to read, as I have each week, all the Beatitudes so that you can see that they all go together. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." Today's Beatitude, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in this same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray first as we get started. And Lord, please help us to see in your word the truth that is there. As we look at this passage, it'll be easy for us to say, "I'll never reach that point," but I pray that you will put within us this craving and this desire to be pure in heart so that we might see you. I ask for wisdom as we study. I ask for grace as we do that. As we have worshiped you this morning around your table, as we have worshiped you in song, as we have laughed and joked with friends, it's all been good. But we now come realizing that worship involves every aspect of our lives and every aspect of today. This is just one part of it. And I pray that as we study, that you will open your word up to us and help us to see the truth that is there. I pray that you will put within our hearts this desire to be pure in heart, so that we might see you. And I pray for understanding. And I ask, Father, that as we go through the message this morning, that you might help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. In 1982, the Los Angeles Times carried the story of a woman named Anna Mae Penica. She was a 62-year-old woman who had been blind from birth. At age 47, she married her husband that she met at a Braille class. And for the next 15 years of their marriage, he was their eyes. But then he lost his sight to a disease called retinitis pigmentosa. Mrs. Penica had never seen the green of the spring, had never seen the blue of the sky, had never seen rain, had never seen anything. But she never once complained. Her family was one of those families that were loving and was loving and supportive, and she refused to allow herself to be a complainer about her state in life. In fact, the story is that she exuded this cheerful spirit. But in 1981, in October of 1981, Dr. Thomas Pettit of the Jules Stein Eye Institute of UCLA performed surgery on her to remove the rare congenital cataracts from the lens of her left eye. And Mrs. Penica was able to see for the very first time. I wish I could have been there. That, for her to see the colors that we take for granted, for her to see what her husband looked like, for her to see what her friends looked like, and some of them were taller and some were shorter, some were fatter, some were skinnier than she thought, but for her to see the colors would have been absolutely amazing to me. And the story is that every morning she could not wait to wake up, to splash water on her face, to put glasses on, and to see a sunset and a sunrise, to see the beauty of creation. What an amazing sight that had to have been. You know, we can approach the Bible in much the same way. We can approach it with wonder, or we can approach it like, oh, well, it's always been there. There are some truths in the Bible that when you read them, you can handle them on your own. You don't need anybody else to help you, and, you know, they're pretty simple to understand. There are other truths in the Bible that you need help with, that we study the scripture and we study it and we go, oh man, what does that say? And we go over it and over and over it and we still need help finding it. And somewhere along the line, we hope that someone does share that knowledge with us. And then there are those passages of scripture that totally blow us away. We read them and go, whoa, I didn't know that was in there. Isaiah 40 is one of those passages to me that just opens up God's word and opens up the way God is and why he is so special. The beatitude that we are to see today, blessed are the pure in spirit or pure in heart, for they shall see God, is one of those beatitudes. It's one of those scriptures that it looks simple on the exterior, but there's so much rich earth underneath. And that's what I want to do today. I want to dig into this rich earth. And normally they say when you have a proposition or what I call an objective statement for a sermon, you should have one objective statement, and that should be your objective through the message. Well, actually, I have two. One of them is, what does it mean to be pure in heart? And the other one is, what does it mean to see God? And I think I know they tie together, but we need to understand what each one of them means so that we can understand even greater the truth that is here. So let's begin. Let's ask the first question, what does it mean to be pure in heart? In his book, Kingdom Values, Pastor Tony Evans brought to light a great illustration. I want to piggyback off on that illustration because it's really true. He said, and he speaks about how many people suffer from allergies. And I know a lot of you suffer from allergies. I've heard some of you talk about, oh, I'm miserable. I can't hardly breathe. And we can't wait for maybe the rain to fall to kind of knock the pollen out of the air. You know, and one of the things that we want as an allergy sufferer is to be free from pollutants, irritants, and allergens. That allows us to breathe freer. God desires that our hearts be free from exactly those three things, from pollutants, from irritants, and from impurities. He wants followers of His who are unmixed, who are undivided, and undiluted in their love for Him. The reason is God and sin are irreconcilable. You cannot put them in the same room. The only way you could even do that is by saying, well, God took care of sin through Christ dying on the cross for us. But in the long haul, God and sin are irreconcilable. They don't get along. To me, it is like, let's suppose you have a bunch of garbage in your house. Well, most people take garbage, they bag it up, they put it in a can. But let's suppose that you decide, who needs the can? And you just dump the garbage in your house. And then you fill up another bag, and instead of taking it out there, you do exactly the same thing. Now, nobody in their right mind is going to do that, are they? Notice what I said, nobody in their right mind would do that? Well, let's look at it this way. How many times do we fill our lives, our hearts, with garbage? And their pollutants, and their irritants, and their impurities, and we wonder why in the world we are struggling as we are. But I think what we need to do is we need to come to grips with some terms. So let's first of all talk about what it means to be pure in heart. And I'm going to actually split this, and let's talk about what it means to be pure. Let me read a couple scriptures for you. The first one is printed up there for you. It's Psalm chapter 24. Verses 3 and 4. Listen to the psalmist. He says, who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy praise, the holy place? One who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to deceit and has not sworn deceitfully. The psalmist is basically saying, if you want to stand in the presence of God, you need clean hands and a pure heart. I can't help but believe that when Jesus was talking about blessed are the pure in heart, that he was thinking back to Psalm chapter 24, because he knew the Psalms. And he was saying we needed a clean hands and pure heart. But let me show you another one. It's Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. And if you're wondering where that is, just go to Daniel. If you can find Daniel, go to the book before it. Ezekiel 36. Verses 25 and 26. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Do you see the truth that Ezekiel's saying? God is saying, I will give you this new heart. In fact, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart that is alive. So what he wants us to do is to realize that we need pure hearts. And I can't help also believing that when Jesus confronted the religious leaders in Matthew 23, that this was in his mind. Do you remember the story? There are seven woes there. Seven times Jesus says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. One time he says, you are like a cup. And you're all clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of crud. My language, excuse me. There's another one where he says, some of you are like dead men are like a casket. You're all clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. What Jesus was saying, it is not enough to be clean on the outside. We need to be pure on the inside. We need to be, as the word pure means, to be clear water. We need to be a metal without an alloy. You see, God is not after us to be pure in our looks. He is after us to be pure in our heart. And that brings up the next one. What does it mean to be pure in heart? I think we're all familiar with how the heart operates, this physical thing that beats in our chest. I think it's safe to say, without a heart, there is no life. Am I correct in saying that? Okay, if you don't have a heart, you don't live, right? It's the responsibility of our physical heart to take our blood filled with oxygen and send it to all parts of our body. Every organ, every digit, every part of us, over and over and over a day. When the heart gets messed up, then you have problems, whether you have an embolism or whether you have an artery that clogs from plaque or whatever, something goes wrong, then you have a problem. But the issue that we have here is the importance of the physical heart cannot be discounted. You have to have the physical heart to move. When we were at another church, there was a man who spent over a year in Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis, hooked up to a mechanical heart because his heart was worthless. And he sat in bed for a year hooked up to a mechanical heart until he finally got a heart. Because why? Without something pumping his blood, he was gone. Well, let's apply that to the spiritual part of us. We have something inside us called the soul. It is who we are. That's the part of us that lives forever. People call that the heart. The heart means more than just the mind. The heart also means our emotions. It also involves our will. So when the Bible is talking about blessed are the pure in heart, he is saying, I'm not talking about this physical thing here. He's talking about that which makes us move, that which makes us think, that which makes us feel, that which makes us the totality of who we are. Everything we are comes back to the heart. So when he's talking about being pure in heart, it means not only that our minds, but our feelings and our emotions are all concentrated singly on God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, a verse that most people can tell you. Keep your heart with all diligence. What's the rest of it? For out of it are the issues of life. In Romans 10, we are told that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Believe in your heart. That's not talking about this physical thing. It's talking about this part inside you that makes you move. You see, when you came to Christ, you received a new heart. You received a transplant. That's not a physical heart. That's a spiritual heart. And the problem is, it's just like we dumped all the garbage in our house. There are a lot of people who want to dump a lot of garbage in their spiritual house. And then they wonder why their heart's not functioning right. So let's move on to the next question. What does it mean to see God? Helen Keller was once asked, isn't it terrible to be blind? And she is reported to have said, it is better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing. Those are powerful, true words. There are a lot of people who can see physically, but they can't see and hear. I want to give you eventually, I want to talk to you about that. And I think if Helen was to talk to Mrs. Penica, who was able to see, she would say, you know, it's wonderful that you can see, but there's a better seeing, and that's being able to see as God sees. I want to call it spirit eyes. It's real important these days to talk about spirituality. You hear that? Do you hear that word a lot? Of spirituality. The tragedy is that there are so many people who are wrapped up in spirituality and they have no clue who God is. Spirituality to them is a crystal. Spirituality is some kind of chant. Please understand this, that God is more than an idea or a concept. That's the problem with a lot of our culture today, especially the young people. They see God as more of a concept. They see him more as something up there. But seeing God means that we see him intimately. That we see him, we know his heart, we know his perspective, and we see life through his eyes. Now, seeing God has absolutely nothing to do with an apparition. You don't walk into your room and say, oh, I saw God. It's not a dream. Seeing God goes a whole lot deeper than that. And what happens is when you see God, he transforms you. Let me kind of show you how this works, and I'm going to go off my script a little bit. I did it this morning, and I just want to talk to you for a second. When you see people with spirit eyes, you see people who are hurting. You see people who are crying. You see people who are lonely. You see people who are dejected. You see people who are on the verge of taking their own life. This past week, I just finished reading a book by a wife whose husband was a pastor and he took his own life. And she talked about the torment that he had and the mental illness that he had. But you cannot have the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of God and walk on by people. You see people crying. You see people hurting. And we have to stop this. And that's them. This past 2 weeks ago at the Y, I do what a lot of people do. I put headphones in, you know, those earbuds in. And I'm in another world. I want you to know that, okay? So understand that. And I, for the most part, if people talk to me, I can pause my stuff and, you know, and I tend to listen to my music a little loud so that I can't hear them. I'm ashamed to say that. But if someone wants to talk, then at least I could hear them and I will pause my music. A couple weeks ago, I was working out. And I saw a young man walk by, and he was sad. Now, I asked him how he was doing. He said, I'm sad today. And he kept on walking, and I put my buds back on and went on my way. But you know what? God would not let me alone. And I'm not saying this so that you can say, oh, wow. My first inclination was, let him go. Keep your workout and do what you got to do and get out of there. But God would not let me go until I finally paused it. I took both earbuds out and went over and I talked with him. I said you were sad. What's making you sad? And we probably talked 5 minutes most. He didn't reveal a whole lot, just said life, you know. I've seen him a couple times since then. We've not carried on our conversation ever since then. That's up to him. But for the first time in a long time, I had spirit eyes. That is not a pat on the back. That's a shame. Because I should have had spirit eyes all along. I should have been seeing hurting people all along. I should have seen people who wanted to end their life all along. I should have seen people who had lost people they love all along. I should have seen people crying all along. That's what it means to have spirit eyes. That's what it means to see God. That's what it means to be pure in heart so that you might see God. Because when you see more of God, it means he shows me what he's up to. And I want to follow him. You know, sometimes God pulls back the curtain and he reveals to me what he doesn't like in me. Let me rephrase that. A lot of times he does that. He reveals to me a lot of what he doesn't like in me. But sometimes he pulls back the curtain on people's lives and says, Bill, just show him you care. I wish I could say I always do that. I don't. But it's a challenge for me and a challenge for you to see God in all things. Don't shut your heart down when you see someone crying and say, oh, I got other things to do. I got to keep on moving. Don't allow your enemy to do that. So how can I see God? Well, let me give you four answers to that. Three of them came from a book, and the fourth one I added to it. Number one, be absolutely honest with God. Where is your heart in your pursuit of God? 2 weeks ago, we talked about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do you hunger and thirst for God? Where's your heart at? Does God have your ultimate attention or utmost attention? Number two, realize and acknowledge that only God can make your heart pure. We are not going to have our heart made pure by anything else, by listening to music, by talking with people. Only God can make our heart pure, because the scripture says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You draw near, he draws near. Number three, fill yourself with God's word. Time spent in the word shows. It shows whether you do or you don't. Time spent in the word shows, and it shows whether you do or you don't. And here's the fourth one that I would add. Think about how you want to be seen. When all is said and done and your life is done, how do you want people to see you? How will you be remembered? How will people remember you as a man or woman? Will they remember you as a man or woman of faith, a man or woman of God, or will they remember you as someone who said one thing and then did another? Will you make a difference in someone's life? I want to close with this story. It's a story of a well-respected British pastor who found himself in an interesting situation. On Monday morning, he took the trolley in from the suburbs where he lived into downtown London where the church was. And like most pastors on Monday morning, some take the day off, but some, their mind is going 15 billion different ways, trying to figure out everything that they have to do. And this was one of those pastors who his mind was going everywhere. And when he sat down, he paid his trolley, and when he sat down, he finally took the time to look at the change in his hand, and he realized that the driver had given him too much change. Now, you know, we struggle with that sometimes. Some people say, wow, God provided. And other people will think, oh, well, he's not going to miss it. Well, that was his first initial reaction. But the longer he sat there, the more he realized that his conscience wouldn't let him go, but also God's word would not let him go. So when he left, he leaned over to the trolley driver and he said, when I got on, you accidentally gave me too much change. And the trolley driver said, well, really, it was no accident at all. You see, I was in your congregation yesterday and I heard you preach about honesty. And I just thought, Reverend, I'd put you to the test. He was checking to see if the man practiced what he preached. That's it. And that's the same thing that you and I face day in and day out. Do we practice what we preach? If we say one thing, do we do the same thing? Or do we do something different? I can't answer that question for you, but I can ask you a question, two of them. Do you have a heart that is pure? And do you have a heart that sees God? Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will help us to have a heart that sees you. Because when we see you, we're going to see our friends. We're going to see fellow students. We're going to see fellow co-workers. We're going to see our neighbors. Where are we going to see family members? We're going to see acquaintances who walk by us. And maybe they're crying, and maybe they're hurting, and maybe they're struggling. And if we have your heart, we're going to reach out to try and help. I pray that you will put that heart within each one of us. Help us not to close our hearts and close our minds off to other people and the needs that they have. If they are crying, if they're hurting, help us to cry with them. Help us to hurt with them. Help us to do what we can to ease their pain. And Father, who knows what a difference we might make in someone's life. So I pray that you will help us to be pure in heart, to seek you singly, and because we have a pure heart, we get to see you, not in a figure, but in looking at people being used by you, leaving a legacy behind of someone who loves you and cares about others. So God, go with us this week and give us a heart that's pure. Give us a heart that sees you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. If you're online, thanks for joining us. You guys have a great week. Enjoy your week, but keep your eyes open with spirit eyes.